there are sexual sins that married people are committing right now that are leading thousands, maybe millions of married people into purgatory for long periods of time, as revealed by purgatory mystic, saint, stigmatist, and doctor of the church, Saint Catherine of Siena. We're going to talk about what this sin is and how to combat it in today's video. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Now, I read this in a previous video and I asked, do some of you want to talk about this? Because when it comes to sexual sins in marriage, we receive almost no guidance from the church. If you look up documents, if I'm wrong, please correct me, documents of the church that talk about this, or even in the catechism, there's no specific guidance as to when you're married, yes or no, do this and don't do that, except the only things I can think of are Good News on Sex and Marriage by Christopher West, which is a pretty good guide, but it's not complete and thorough, and it's just from a theologian. So let's listen to what she has to say and her very serious warning. I also saw the torments of the damned and the souls in purgatory, but there are no words that can adequately describe these. If poor mortals had a glimpse of the least of these torments, they would undoubtedly prefer to die 10 times over rather than to have to bear such a thing for one day. I was especially struck by the punishment meted out to those who sin in the married state, who do not respect their vows as they should and seek to satisfy their lust. I then asked her why this sin, which is no more serious than any other, should be punished so severely. And she replied, because the people concerned don't regard it as important and consequently are not sorry for it as they are for others. And so they succumb to it more readily and frequently. And she added, this fault is all too dangerous, however trivial it may seem, because no one who commits it bothers to get remission of it through repentance. By the way, so I'm going to unpack this, and at the very end of the video, I want to talk about the reason why some of these things, these rules that we're going to talk about. Okay, so she is somewhat vague in the sin, but here are the implications: that people who are married think that now that they're married, that they can indulge their sexual appetite to whatever degree. They could indulge their appetites, their lusts. They could do literally like everything goes. And clearly, she is saying here that that is not the case. That just because you have the food in front of you doesn't mean you can just gorge on it to your heart's content. Wrong. But we are not given guidance. So another thing she didn't mention here is that married people don't know that it's wrong. That's why, as she says, they don't repent of it. They don't take it to confession. They don't even know that it's a sin. So someone that I know gave me something that came to him in prayer. And when you hear it, you will hear the truth of it. Now, listen to this guidance right now, because it's absolutely incredible. You have asked, O soul, where this temptation comes, a disordered desire to have what is not pleasing to God. The image of love in the Garden of Eden held this: let us make man in our image, divine image. What is this image? The beatific vision. For all eternity, God the Father looks upon God the Son and the Holy Spirit, being three persons, one God. This mystery is difficult for human understanding. The Son Jesus in adoration, we partake in adoring God, loving Him. They will look upon Him whom they have pierced. Loving in God's terms is face to face. The divine image of love is a face to face encounter. In the divine face to face encounter, the world was created. The animals and plant creation are different, not in the divine image, one of impulse action and not by the decision of the will and act to love. Therefore, man, given the great gift of life in the divine image, walking with God was necessarily face to face in love. With God needed an action continually giving, because not made as his equal of choosing divine life. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, where, O soul, did this temptation come? The fall, when original sin entered and man chose to reject divine love, hidden in leaves, hiding their faces. The love styles went to that of animals. the desire to act like animals, not in the divine image, the gift of procreation, sexuality. Therefore, only the positions face to face are of holy origin. All other positions, man's face is hidden from the woman, objectifies her. She becomes property or a trophy. She is dominated or humiliated. She is not adorned with the gaze of love or virtuous restraint, but battered, mutilated, and made a lesser being. These acts are not in keeping with the love of God or his commandments. The marriages who practice such actions fall into serious sin and break the bonds of love from their wedding vows. This is the answer. So here is being revealed what the demons and Satanists already are showing us. If you read any really good interview with an exorcist, they always show this detail, that one of the best ways to get possessed is through sexual sin. So what is that saying? That sexuality has the power to pull into you spiritual forces. And that's why all of these satanic rituals involve sexuality. What does this mean? That sexuality is bad? No, quite the contrary. That sexuality is dangerous because it is powerful. It is unbelievably a powerful spiritual force. And anyone, even a non-Catholic, will realize that sexuality, that there's something deeply spiritual about it. In fact, here it's implying that it was created to image the love of God, something that will scandalize many people, but it's true. And we should therefore, in the marital state, engage in sexuality with love and respect and reverence. We should engage in it in the same reverence that we go to Mass. We should do everything, even brushing our teeth, in the same reverence as we go to Mass. Why? Because we're always in the presence of God in a certain way. And in particular, when we go to Mass, and in particular, in the marital act, it must be reverent because it is holy, because it is dangerous and powerful. It could literally kill you. It can. If a woman gets pregnant, things go wrong, the woman can die. So engaging in the sexual act is dangerous and powerful and holy. And it is here it is stating that it must image God, because as the yogaists know, certain positions can channel in demons. So I would argue that basically 99% of the evils that we see out in the world have been channeled in through sinful sexual acts. Why? Because everyone has access to them, because, you know, every human comes from sexual acts. So this is, it's like one of the most common things out there. Not everyone does drugs. Not everyone does Ouija boards. Not everyone does all these different things, but everyone in some way has engaged in sexual activity. That's where we all come from. And so this is an incredibly common thing out there. And the misuse of it when it's imaging animals, or not imaging God, it's imaging something else. What is it imaging? Demons. This is why the ancient religions worshipped animals, because they wanted to get animals. They wanted to get humans to be like animals, to do marital acts like the animals, to conjure in demons, to become possessed, to become evil, to become impure, to use each other, etc., to bring havoc into the world. Therefore, what are some general guidelines? First of all, you must pray and become holy so that lust is cast out of your heart. Then this must be a serious conversation that you have with your spouse, that we cannot do anything else except face-to-face love. That's it. That's it. Period. The end. So you must ask God to make your heart chaste. And because it is dangerous, you can't just do anything. You must be careful what you do. And when you engage in that, it must be, before you do it, pray. What's a good prayer? Do the prayer before meals. Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts which you're about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. Appropriate, correct? And then when you engage in that, it must be selfless. It must be seeking the good of the other. It must be beautiful. It must be reverent. Enjoy it. but it must be something that is holy because you are in the presence of God and you must call down God upon that act. Haven't people called the marital bed an altar? What happens on altar? Things are sacrificed. Blood is spilt. So this must be a sacrificial act, open to life and done not out of lust like an impulse, but chosen willfully, chosen with your mind and your heart, not with just your passions. Why? What's the purpose of all these things? Now, on the one hand, because we want to image God, but here's the profound thing. In when we live the Christian life, our sexuality, our food, how we have money, like everything in terms of earthly possessions, including sexuality and all that, it's always very modest. It's never allowing us to fully satisfy all our desires. Why? Because God wants to intentionally leave us dissatisfied. God wants to intentionally leave us dissatisfied with earthly things, only giving us so much money, so much sex, so much food, so much possessions, so much fame, etc., so that we're dissatisfied, so that we want more, so that we want Him. That's why. Because if we engage in earthly things to satisfy our deepest desires, we will become addicted to them and they still won't satisfy us. Whereas if we're restrained and we restrain ourselves, we will then know this doesn't satisfy me. I want more. And that's exactly where He wants you, because then you take that to prayer and you say, God, this more that I want, only God can satisfy. That's the whole point of all of it, to take you to that point to say, I want more. And the more that we want, we can only satisfy here on earth, Jesus in the Eucharist, and then our faith, and then God in heaven. My friends, this is incredibly liberating stuff. If this is something that you've struggled with or you've done in your marriage, go to confession, cast these demons out, because they are coming through into this world through sexual acts. And that's exactly what the devil wants. We must rather call forth God and the Holy Spirit through our sexual acts, because they are holy. They image God. Can you imagine this? Unbelievable stuff. And if you've ever done these things in the past, repent so as to not do time in purgatory, because that's what happens. People don't know this. They don't repent. And they take all that sin to purgatory and stay there for a very long time. My friends, if this video has helped you in any way, please subscribe. Let's have a good conversation about this. Comment down below some of the things, how this impacted you, what you think about it. Support the channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.